Startups looking for some seed money are starting to turn away from venture capital somewhat and turn to crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter. Research from UC Berkeley looked into this and found the crowdfunding efforts help startups that were located away from traditional VC hotbeds. To get a sense of how this is playing out in Arizona, I'm joined by Scott Kelly. He's CEO of Phoenix-based Black Dog Venture Partners, which advises entrepreneurs in fundraising and business development. And Scott, what role do crowdfunding efforts play in terms of what has traditionally been considered the realm of venture capital?
Well, I think you have to really kind of explain and define, you know, the various types of crowdfunding. Over the last several years, it's been rewards-based crowdfunding, where effectively companies are using things like Kickstarter and Indiegogo to really pre-sell their product or service or gain some exposure and raise money in that means. You know, when the Jobs Act was passed several years ago and implemented recently, they began these portals, and crowdfunding really was geared more towards raising equity capital or debt for companies. And I think, although it's the future I think is bright, it still has a ways to go.
What are some of the, I guess, hurdles that have to be cleared for it to reach that kind of future?
Well, I think one, you've got a legal hurdle. You know, although the Jobs Act was passed, there are now people that are champions of the equity crowdfunding are going back, hopefully going back to Congress to make some amendments to that, because there are still legal hurdles in terms of raising equity. Because when you're selling a product or service, you know, via Kickstarter and Indiegogo, you don't necessarily have any securities laws restricting you from doing that. But when you're selling security, you have to deal with security laws.
Have you found that firms that are using this kind of equity crowdfunding, is it becoming a more democratic process? Or are firms getting money that wouldn't maybe get money from a traditional venture capital firm?
It is. It's happening. And, you know, from a percentage basis of overall venture capital, it's a fraction of a fraction at this point. But like anything, you know, it takes time. There are companies, in fact, you know, there was a company here in Chandler, Arizona that raised, I believe, $17 million through equity crowdfunding, so that you can have success. And there's been some early success with some, but it's still not widely adapted.
Have you found that there are companies in Arizona that are using this maybe in a greater number than other places?
I'm not sure it's a greater number. I think there's a lot of markets that are trying to establish both either interstate or intrastate, you know, equity crowdfunding. You know, there are some platforms that are in Arizona dedicated just to Arizona investors, and there's Arizona companies that are using national platforms to raise money through equity crowdfunding. So I'm not sure Arizona is necessarily either the front or the end of the pack.
In theory, would the ability to do something like this help maybe companies in a place like Arizona that is not New York, that is not Northern California, that maybe is not sort of a hub of traditional venture capital?
Absolutely, because I think the reality is that, you know, raising money is hard work, and you have to spend the time to reach a lot of people, establish relationships. You know, in Silicon Valley, New York, Boston, other markets, they've been in the business of doing this very successfully for a large number of years. And so I think if you don't have those connections to angel groups or venture capitalists, going to the folks that you do know could be advantageous.
Do venture capital firms look at companies that are using this kind of technology to raise money as sort of a barometer of how successful or how popular they may be that they might want to get involved in as well?
Yes, I think, in our experience, we have used, you know, a rewards-based equity funding to show a proof of concept or consumer demand that we subsequently used as proof to traditional VCs. And I think you find the same thing happen on the equity crowdfunding side.
So, like, if I have an idea and I can't get venture capital funding, but I can raise, you know, a couple $100,000 on a crowdfunding site, you might look at that and say, oh, okay, well, maybe this idea has a little more merit than we thought.
Sure, exactly. And I think in some cases, you know, the ability to raise capital is as important to venture capitalists as the ability to sell products and services. And so, again, it provides that proof of interest.
What do you think is the ultimate potential of this kind of technology?
Well, I think, you know, the potential, I think, is significant. The whole fintech market is a rapidly expanding market. So, you know, you have portals that are dedicated to deal flow for individual investors and the entrepreneurs. You have portals that are dedicated to angels and venture capitalists to connect to investment opportunities. So I think the potential is high, But like everything, you have to work through some of the challenges and issues before it becomes what ultimately can be.
Scott Kelly is CEO of Phoenix-based Black Dog Venture Partners. Among the startups that turned to Kickstarter is Brew Gear, which describes its products as high-end home brewery vessels. Phil Spivey is president of the Tempe-based firm. And Phil, how confident were you that crowdfunding would work for you?
We used crowdfunding to basically prove the concept. We had set up some products basically for personal use, and people had looked at those products, said they were interested in them as well. And to cut the long story short, we decided that we would kind of trial market them and use crowdfunding as a way of telling us whether people were just saying nice things about the products or whether they were really interested in sort of putting their money where their mouth is for them.
Can I ask how much you raised that way?
Off of Kickstarter, I think we were at $112,000.
And how much were you hoping for?
We were targeting around, I think it was at the time, around $30,000.
Wow. So I guess that proved the concept to you then.
It did. And it's, you know, we kind of viewed the Kickstarter, I think, a little differently than other people did. I mean, we had the element of the amount of money we went after, I was told initially, was quite a lot, and I should trim it down, but the amount actually equated to a volume that we needed to be able to get to make the economics all work. So for us, it really was a go, no-go switch in terms of if we hit the 30,000, then it was go, and if we didn't, then we would do something else.
Why did you decide to go this route as opposed to a more traditional venture capital kind of route?
Really, it all came down to control. I have, through my career, I've worked for a lot of other people, from small startup businesses through medium-sized businesses through major corporations. And if I was going to launch this, I didn't really want to hang control over. I've worked for VC firms before, and you may have a level of autonomy, but you're always reporting to someone. So really, that's what that came down to.
Do you think that going the route you did, going through a Kickstarter or some other crowdfunding model, will become more and more popular?
I think a lot of people will try it. I mean, obviously, the success failure rate is fairly interesting. I mean, there's a lot more people who kind of throw something out there to try it and who don't succeed for whatever reason. At that point, you know, I think you then have to reevaluate, you know, what the cause of that was and what you can do to course correct if you still want to pursue it. In our case, this made a lot of sense. We gained a lot of marketing exposure this way. You know, we launched a brand in this way, as well as getting, you know, the financial resources to actually launch the product.
Phil Spivey is president of Tempe-based Brew Gear.